So this particular Sunday is known as Pentecost. And Pentecost is the day when the Holy Spirit first came on the disciples after Jesus had left the earth and ascended into heaven. So the disciples were gathered at the festival of Pentecost, and we're going to hear what happens to them in a minute. But I just want to dial back first to hear Jesus' promise about the Holy Spirit. So the words I'm about to share from the Bible are from the moment when Jesus was with the disciples in the upper room, having shared the Last Supper, and this was some of the teaching that Jesus was giving to his disciples at that moment. So these are excerpts from the Gospel of John, chapters 15 and 16. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Now, absolutely, and I would say the same thing about that Bible passage as well. It's not the easiest Bible passage in the world to get our brains round unless you all got it first go and it's just me. So I thought I'd try and explain this before I go on to what happened at Pentecost. Basically, Jesus, who is the Son of God and is God, was promising that the third person of the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was going to come when Jesus leaves the earth. So the disciples wouldn't have Jesus, but they would have Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit with them. So they would know that they have this Spirit with them. Now, when I was a boy, I used to get a bit scared by this Holy Spirit, especially as they referred to him as the Holy Ghost. And I had had enough ghost stories to think, that's spooky. However, when I was 31 and quite a bit older, I met the Holy Spirit for the first time. And it was amazing because it wasn't anything like I was expecting. It was just this presence of peace, an incredible peace that I just felt warming, coming through my hands and just completely overwhelming me. Now, at that stage, I was just going through a breakup of a very difficult relationship, and it was a very painful breakup, but I'd never grieved over it. And this moment when I received the Holy Spirit wasn't the easiest, because there were 300 people out the front all looking forwards. And there was a group of us on the stage who were receiving the Holy Spirit. And me being a blokey bloke who doesn't do emotion, as I felt the Holy Spirit come in, I cried and I cried and I cried. But despite being a blokey bloke, I didn't care at that moment, because actually it was just such a wonderful feeling of the presence of the Spirit. This is the third person of the Trinity that Jesus promised before Jesus left. And he said that this Holy Spirit, who was very powerful but very gentle, would come on the disciples to enable them to testify, it says there in verse 27 on the screen, to testify about Jesus. So that's the first purpose of the Spirit, to enable people to testify about Jesus. And then, in verse 13 down there, 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then it says below, he will speak only what he hears. So the Holy Spirit comes and gets all the words from Jesus, which he then speaks into people to give us guidance, to allow us to have God to follow, which is good news because it's much easier to follow than to try and testify about Jesus in our own strength. And the last bit in verse 13, and he will tell you what is yet to come, that is what we know as prophecy. So when the Holy Spirit comes and works with us, not only does he guide us and help us to testify about Jesus, but he also helps us to see glimpses of what is to happen. So if you can just hold on to those three things. One, the Holy Spirit enables us to talk about Jesus. Two, he will guide us. And three, he will enable us to know what is to come. I then want to take the next bit of our readings and show you how that comes true in what happens on Pentecost. So our second reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, which are all the stories of what happened to the apostles after Jesus left, and this is the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Before I go into the rest of it, I've just noticed this quite key thing. In the days of Joel the prophet, we get your sons and daughters will prophesy. And then in verse 18, even on my servants, both men and women. Now that is radical, because going back to the days of the prophet Joel, women were very much second-class citizens. They were under the domination of men in a very patriarchal society. God was being even radical some 500, 600 years before Jesus came by his words through the prophets saying, men and women, it's all going to be equal. That for me is amazing, because to break patriarchal societies have taken centuries and centuries, as we well know from the suffragette movement here having to break through. Sorry, that was just a freebie on the side. So, if you remember the 3 points I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit will help people to testify about Jesus, the Holy Spirit will guide, and the Holy Spirit will help us to see the future. Firstly, all the apostles received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Spirit was guiding them. They didn't know how to speak other languages, but the Spirit guided their mouths and everything they said, so that all the international gathering of Jews could hear them speaking in their native tongues. So it'd be like Matt standing up the front with some people from Italy here and singing Italian without knowing it. How's your Italian, Matt? Non-existent. Yeah. It's as good as mine then. I know a few Italian football players and that's about it. And so what are they speaking about? They're testifying about Jesus. They're speaking about Jesus. So their spirit is already enabling them to speak about Jesus. So Jesus has kept his promise about what the Spirit would do. And thirdly, when Peter quotes from the prophet Joel, in the last days God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That is for us, because we live in the last days. And I'm not saying that the last days, so it's going to happen next week, that Jesus has come again and that's the end of the world. I really am not saying that. Because the last days have been going on since Jesus left this earth. We are in the end times. And that could be going on for another couple of minutes. It could be going on for hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, possibly even centuries. And certainly, if you go back and look at different prophecies about the end of the end of the world keeps being prophesied, but it never happens. So we don't know how long we've got. So let's not worry about that. But let's just understand, we're in the last days and God is pouring his Spirit out on all people. So that's all of us. And that's exciting, because that's where the visual aids come in. So, in here is water, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And here is the empty vessel, that's us. Now, when we encounter the Holy Spirit and we say we want to make a commitment, the Holy Spirit comes into us and we get some Holy Spirit in us. That's good. That's exciting. Now, I don't know to what proportion of us we get the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's quite a generous portion, because God is generous. So we get that to start with. And then we start to grow as a Christian, and we get a bit more Holy Spirit. Look, that's good. We're doing well. We've got a good connection with God going on there. That's really good. And then something happens. Something goes slightly awry in our lives. It could be a bereavement that we're really upset about, and we think, why did God let that happen? It could be something goes really badly wrong in our lives, such as unemployment. Certainly when I got made redundant, I was waving a little fist towards God. And it could be illness, or it could be we're having a really good time. Things are so great. Actually, we forget who God is, because we don't need him, because we're in complete control. So at moments like that, we may have a bit less Holy Spirit in us. So it could be moments like that, or sadly, it could go to empty even, which is when we do disconnect from God. But God is faithful because it says here, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and he's forever trying to do that. So let's fill us up a little bit again. So there we are, as a Christian, with the Holy Spirit in them. And so can I, at this point, I'd just like to say, no matter how high that Holy Spirit is and that level in there, there's no such thing as a first-class Christian, a second-class, or a third-class Christian. We're all Christians. God loves us all. We're all equal in the eyes of God. So don't worry. So if you see someone who's super spiritual, who can do amazing things, they're no better than you. All it means is they've opened up slightly more to God, but they're no better than you. Okay. I need to make that point because I've heard too many people, unfortunately, in the church saying, oh, don't you speak in tongues? Oh, that's interesting. So, I just want to dispel that one from my perspective. So, if God's pouring his Holy Spirit, what's stopping that glass from becoming completely full and overflowing like it was for the disciples? Us, because we can put a hand over the top like that and no water is getting in there. We can put a block on the Holy Spirit coming in. And how can we do that? Well, there's a few ways, and I'll give you the ones that I personally experienced. Firstly, there's I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough person. Who am I to receive the Holy Spirit? And that immediately puts a barrier between me and God and stops it. Secondly, there's fear. So as I mentioned, as a child, I was scared of this Holy Spirit. I was looking around the church that I went to as a child, thinking, looking for a white-sheeted ghost around the place. That's the way I thought. I mean, if it's called the Holy Ghost, that's what you think. So I was scared of this spirit. And equally, I'm a scientist. I've got a degree in chemistry. I stopped going to church between the ages of 18 and 31. And I thought rationally. And I used to think of ways that, you know, when God parted the Red Sea with Moses there, I used to think of the wind and the currents and whatever suddenly creating that without the need for a miracle. I couldn't explain the water into wine, though. That was a tricky one. But I was frightened of something irrational, because spiritual just doesn't make sense, or it didn't make sense to me, until I went along to this church at the age of 31 and saw happy people in church, people who were excited, alive, and full of energy, and a desire to want to help other people. And I thought churches were meant to be very quiet places, contemplative, where people sit there looking like they're eating bitter lemon and looking slightly miserable or pious so that they're very humble before Almighty God. That's what I was brought up with thinking for 18 years. I know now that's not necessarily the case. And obviously, that bishop from America who preached yesterday has kind of dispelled what a Christian preacher is like for an enormous amount of the population of this country and across the world by being a bit more dynamic. And that is what I found Christianity to be like when I went to this church. And I thought, oh my word, there's something more to it than just coming to church. So, despite my fear, I decided I would go and try and invite the Holy Spirit in and try and be open. And gradually, I overcame my fear. But it was asking someone else for help and then asking God for help. It was almost a, if you're there, then come and show yourself to me. And he did. It was brilliant. So fear is another way. Other ways I've set about, we're too comfortable, no thank you, I'm happy with where I am in life, I want to stay put. So, no more Holy Spirit, please, just in case it disturbs my lovely lifestyle. Or it could be the opposite, I'm feeling absolutely rubbish, I'll put it off, I don't want any more, thanks God, at the moment. Again, I know both of those. Before I got this, I won't call it a job, it's a vocation, and I love it. But before I did this, I was an IT project manager on a very healthy salary with bonuses. I got an incredibly good bonus 1 year, which wiped off half the mortgage. Sorry, I didn't like to say that to people. And I traded all that in for this job. It's not a job. But I traded that in because I was so excited by the Holy Spirit. But while I was in that job, I kind of didn't need to rely on God so much because I had everything. I had all the money I needed at the time. Everything was comfortable. So I said, no more thanks. I'm very happy where I am. But basically managed to find the crack between my hand, pour Holy Spirit in and said, I want you to become a vicar. So just to finish this off really quickly, here we are. And what God wants for us is, who doesn't mind getting wet? Julian. Would you mind holding that glass over there? I've got a towel ready for you. No, it's not open the book. So, what God wants to do with us by pouring the Holy Spirit is he wants us to be open at the top of the glass so that we're ready for him just to do this and 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 there we go. That is the blessing that God wants to give us. He wants to give us all of that Holy Spirit so that we're full with a relationship with him, and then we are able to do so much more because we've got the Holy Spirit in us to help other people, to make a difference to people's lives, to do the things that the apostles and disciples did in the Acts of the Apostles, which was bring healing to people, which was to bring hope to people, to change people's lives. That is where I think God wants us as a church and as a people, so that we take off from out of here and do what the apostles did when they received the Holy Spirit that first Pentecost, because suddenly they had boldness to go out, share Jesus, heal people, teach them of a better way, and basically, yeah, begin the church, which has made an enormous difference in so many facets of life. Thank you, Julian. You can put that, you can tip it away in there. You can drink it if you want. And you can leave the glass in there. So, differing amounts of water in the glass means we can still do stuff for God, but the more we have, the more we can accomplish. And that is the Holy Spirit. Amen.